Well, good morning, everyone. If you would please stand and join us in singing. We're going to turn to page 57 at Calvary. Sing it out.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary.
Let's sing the second verse and then we'll sing the last. On the second.
By God's word, what sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. At Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. At Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God for the day He gave my soul liberty, saving me, placing me in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful today. We was talking our whole Sunday school hour about the resurrection. You know, how great is that? To know that He lives. And what? Because He lives, I'll live also. Amen. Well, it's good to be here in the Lord's house. Good to have our visitors with us. Thankful the Lord bring you our way. And we're here to worship and lift up the name, the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust that God will meet with us in a tremendous way, a special way. We're sure thankful that we do have visitors with us and church family. You get by as we pause and take a couple minutes here and shake hands. You make sure they know that you're thankful God brought them to Metropolitan Baptist Church. We're going to do that right now. Church family, let's shake some hands.
Thank you.
remain standing. Let's turn to page 150. Y'all can join in with the choir as we sing He Lives. We'll sing the first verse again, and then we'll go to the last. Well, I need to get there first. All right, sing with us.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is with me, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. At just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me. A long life's never away. He lives, He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him. The help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And talks with me along my narrow way. He lives, He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my. Thousands were fed. He touched the blind eyes, healed broken spirits. He moved with compassion. He raised up the dead. Thank you.
can't stay seated after hearing that. Please stand. Let's turn to page 149, Because He Lives. We kind of lull you into going to sleep on this first verse, but then we wow you on the chorus. So we'll pick up the speed when we get to the chorus, okay?
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives.
Sing it out.
Because He lives.
Your places will be ready to receive this morning's offering. I was handed one of these last minute, didn't make the bulletin notes, so this is not in your bulletin. Immediately after the morning service this morning, if you are a man, a father, or a son, and is interested in going on a canoe trip that's going to be May 20th through 23rd, that's going to be a Wednesday through a Saturday, please see Brother Chuck immediately in this conference room back here in this back hallway. He said a very brief meeting. He said he will not interrupt the Easter dinners or Easter egg hunts or anything. No, he's not the ham is not going to get cold, he said. So just briefly, he says. So keep that in mind. When he starts running along, tap your watch at him. Just kind of. Ladies' brunch is going to be tomorrow with Cracker Barrel, their monthly thing, and it's going to be on 35. They have a personal growth seminar. This, folks, is going to be the third week of it. I want to encourage y'all, if y'all have not attended that yet, sneak by and see it, okay? And find out a little bit. And I want to encourage y'all to get involved with it. This has been a very good thing. We got a youth rally coming up around the corner. That's going to be a $15 cost for that particular youth rally. Got a Martin and Martin shower. Miss Provy is about to go crazy. She says when this is all over with, she can sigh finally. And of course, that's not going to take place till the 25th, and she's going to be able to take a big old long deep breath. Got a Bible conference coming up on May 13th through 15th. Our theme for this year is God's power for God's people. And 10th through 13th of May, we're going to have a revival. Folks, I want y'all to pray. Pray hard for that. Pray for revival, okay? And also be praying for souls. I think that's all we're going to cover on that this morning. There's a lot of other stuff in this bulletin. There's a lot that was put into it. Please take the time to read it. So let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the reason that we're here today, Lord. A very special day. If it was not for today that we're celebrating, we would just be wasting our time here today. Thank you for your Son dying on the cross and raising from the dead, paying for our sins. Thank you so much for that, Lord. Lord, right now we're also asking to be at the offering about to receive, be at the gift and the giver, Lord. But Lord, most important, Lord, please give the preacher the words that you want him to have. Hide him behind the cross. Pray our hearts. If there's anybody who does not know you today as your Savior, please let today be the day. Ask these things in your name. Amen.
Shackled from the onset of time, for the chains of defeat, there's no king. See the tears of the broken, hear the cries of the slaves. Is there no one worthy to set us free? Then the crying is still as the chorus rings out, the shackled released from their chains. Thousands of voices are swelling the song. Worthy the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy the Lamb that was slain. Worthy. Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy, the Lamb that was slain. And then the archangel, the saints of all time, holding their crowns in their hands, fall down before him.
Much more than these frail lips are even capable of giving him. My, may we not hold back though. Might we be ready always, continually to give him praise. Please be turning to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We looked this morning at a couple fellows that took a walk with the living God. A walk with the living God. If you found your place there in the Gospel of Luke, verse 13, if you're able, please stand with us in reverence to the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. In this passage, disciples, as we'll see, are trying to sort it all out. We find our Lord Jesus Christ entering in and in a very special and beautiful way to minister to these two men as they walked around the road. In verse 13, we begin reading. It says, "And behold, two of them," two of the disciples, not of the 11, but two other disciples, "two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk, and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and that not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not His body, and came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but Him they saw not. Then He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while we talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how He was known of them in breaking of bread. Father, we bow before You once again and thank You, Lord. Thank You for Jesus today. Thank You, Father, for what You were pleased to do through Your only begotten Son. That indeed, as the Lord spoke to these men, and that indeed these things were necessary, they were absolutely essential, that You indeed would suffer and die and be raised again in glory. And we're here today because of that, because He lives. Indeed. We've been forgiven of sin. Eternal life has been granted. And we're here today to magnify, exalt, and lift up that name, the lovely name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You for the beautiful music, choir, and the quartet. Thank You, Father, that we've had opportunity to lift our voices. Now, Lord, we'd ask that we would hear from You. Take Your word, hide the preacher behind the cross, and speak to us concerning Your Son. We love You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You for Your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And of course, you may be seated. It had been a turbulent week for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had gone from that high just a week before, as their Master had ridden into the city of Jerusalem, and the crowds were raising their accolades to Him. Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! And on and on. And then before the week was done, just a few days later, the crowds were calling for His death. Crucify Him! They called out. And they witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ suffered hideous treatment, giving His life to that cross on Mount Calvary. They understood indeed that He was dead. They had seen them put His lifeless body into the tomb. And they'd heard the reports, the confusing reports, that His body was missing. And there were some that were claiming that He was alive. How could it be? They had seen Him die. we pick up the events in our passage as these two are walking on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Been a lot of questions about just where this village is. Where is Emmaus? And it's still a question, but we do know this, that it was about 7 miles, as we would measure it, from the city of Jerusalem. So it was not that far away. And these two are walking that 7 miles. Now, it's not too hard to walk about 3 miles in an hour. That's not hard at all. And so as we would consider the distance, it was probably 2 hours, no more than 3 hours for them to walk from the city of Jerusalem to the village of Emmaus. Well, we see these two as they make their way. We see them on this burdened way to Emmaus in the early verses here. The two men are bewildered followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they walk along the way, we read that they're discussing what had taken place. As we would read in verse 14, Luke 24, verse 14, says, "And they talked together of these things which had happened." They had witnessed the events of the previous days. They were talking of them. "It came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned," they were trying to sort it out, trying to come to some kind of an understanding of what had taken place. That word "reasoned" in our verse, it has the idea of investigating. They were trying to sort out all the events as they had played themselves out, trying to piece it together and come to an understanding of what had happened. And as they talk and walk, a stranger joins them. And it wouldn't really be that unusual. The main roads leading out of Jerusalem were busy roads. The feasts had just finished in the city, and so many would be making their way back home. So it wouldn't be an unusual thing for someone to join them as they walk. But we understand from our passage that it was none other than the risen Jesus Christ Himself. But, and for reasons that are probably beyond our understanding, He kept them from being able to recognize Him, at least at this point. He asks His traveling companions what they were talking about. In verse 17, He said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" Now, I was sharing with my Sunday school class, and when I read that word "sad" there, it means to be sullen. Has the idea of almost a sorrow or a grief. And indeed, their master had died. They were grieving what had happened to Him. But as they walked, you can almost picture them as they were again trying to figure out what had happened, what had taken place, and they were piecing together all the events. And again, their hearts are breaking. They don't understand. Their heads are probably hanging. Their shoulders are probably slumped over. And it's very obvious to anyone, let alone the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they were indeed sad. But they're amazed. This one of these two, his name was Cleopas. And he says, "What do you mean?" Essentially, he says, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" He says, "What are you, a foreigner? Where have you been hiding the last week? Have you not been in the city and heard?" Everyone knew what was going on in the city during these days. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ asked them the simple question. What things? What things? It seems obvious that the Lord Jesus wanted to draw from them what they were thinking, what conclusions they had come to, and what they had witnessed. So the two disciples go on and they relate, they describe to the Lord Jesus Christ what had happened. They're telling Him about what had happened to Him. Interesting. They tell Him, they tell the Lord Jesus about the great works that this Jesus of Nazareth had done. They tell Him about the message that He had preached. It says in verse 19, "And they said unto Him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." They told Him about His great works and His words. They told Him about the cruel and the unjust treatment that He had received, both at the hands of the Jewish leadership and, of course, the Roman government, their rulers. And they told Him about how all of that culminated in the crucifixion, the putting to death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They tell Him about their shattered hopes and how they believe that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, would be the one that would redeem Israel. And in their hearts, and as they had witnessed and what they had understood, that this Jesus would be that one that would restore Israel to her glory. That He would be the one that would deliver them from Rome's dominion. That once again, Israel would be free. They saw Him as their Redeemer, but they did not have the complete and full understanding of what Jesus truly came to redeem them of. They related how that 3 days after His burial, His body was missing. His body was missing, and they don't know what to think about all of this. Should they believe the fantastic story of the women who had gone to the tomb that morning and came back and said He was not there, but angels had come and told them that He was alive? How could they believe such a fantastic story? And indeed, some of the men had gone to the tomb, and yes, indeed, it was just as the women had told them. The tomb was empty. What were they to believe? And Jesus says to them in verse 25, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Again, I don't know how long these two particular disciples had been with the group, how much time they'd actually spent hearing the Lord Jesus Christ teach. And yet the Lord, He knew, and He understood that they should have understood. They should have known that indeed what was going to happen, and that indeed Jesus would rise from the dead. He says to them, "O fools, you foolish ones, and slow of heart." The idea of is that you're dull of understanding. Now, I don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ was saying these things cruelly. I'm convinced He probably said that to them with a broken heart of His own. Then why don't you understand? Why didn't you pick up on this as you have been taught? He goes on and says, with that statement, then the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in verse 27, "And beginning at Moses," that's Genesis, beloved, "beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Jesus goes back. He starts at the beginning in the book of Genesis. And He goes through the Scriptures as they walked along making their way to Emmaus. And what's He doing? He gives them a Bible lesson as they never heard before, explaining to them from Moses and all the prophets those things concerning Himself. Beloved, this book is His story. This book from beginning to end, as the old preachers used to say, has that wonderful scarlet thread through it all, teaching and telling us about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus would be teaching them from what Scriptures? The Old Testament Scriptures. About Himself. About Himself indeed. Oh my. Whew. Beloved, let me challenge you before we go on. You need to know what God says in His Word. You need to know what the Bible says. Jesus, as we've said, went back to the Old Testament and He taught them concerning Himself. The question I would ask, is the Bible trustworthy? Only you can answer for you. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? If that's so, believe it then. Receive it as God's instruction to us, to you and to myself. Beloved, don't wait on Hollywood to explain the Bible. It's more than they can do, and they will not tell the truth. Huh? Oh my. Don't wait on the Bible deniers to tell you what the Bible says. They're not going to tell you the truth. 70 years or so ago, when they found those Dead Sea Scrolls out there in the desert by the Dead Sea, the liberal theologians and their whole crowd thought, oh, finally, we're finally going to be able to show those Bible thumpers that their Bible has been corrupted, that men have changed the Word of God, and you can't trust the Bible. Well, guess what? As they started studying those scrolls and piecing it all together, they found out that, hey, that Old Testament is just the same as you hold in your lap today. Your King James Bible is just the same. Hey, you've got the Word of God. And those Dead Sea Scrolls go all the way back to around the first century. Hallelujah. You can trust your Bible. You can trust your Bible. Well, what a Bible lesson it must have been. What? They got a college degree in 3 hours. Son of God Himself. The Son of God Himself talking to them about what His Word says about the Messiah, the Christ. That indeed He would come to this earth planet and become a sacrifice for sin. My. We're familiar with the prophecies. We're familiar with the prophecies concerning the birth of Christ. We go back and look at Micah and find out He was to be born in Bethlehem. We look at Isaiah and realize that He would be born of a virgin. And on those prophecies concerning the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But beloved, the Old Testament had plenty to say about His death as well. His death as well. In Exodus chapter 12 and Psalm 34, we read there that not a bone of the Messiah would be broken in His sacrifice. We read other places. In fact, in Psalm 22, oh my, what a tremendous word. Written hundreds of years before Jesus would hang on that cross. And in Psalm 22 in verse 1, we read those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We read in verse 6 of that Psalm where he says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their heads, saying, and on it goes, mocking him in his death. We slide down to verse 14 and we read there. It says, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. The agony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16 of Psalm 22 says, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Again, written hundreds of years before the event. In fact, he speaks of his, David speaks of the crucifixion of Christ before crucifixion even existed. Don't tell me. You came too late to tell me this book's not inspired.
Amen.
In Isaiah 53, that classic chapter on the sacrifice of Christ, talking about his suffering, talking about the sacrifice that he made for you and for me. It says in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, listen to this, plug yourself in here. He says, surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh my. There's no mistaking what's being talked about there. We go on in verse 12 of Isaiah 53. Listen to this. He says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. Listen, he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. We understand that Jesus was crucified as a criminal amongst criminals, the transgressors. And again, we could go on and on, dealing, revealing passages that speak and teach us concerning his sacrifice, his death from the Old Testament. And again, beloved, testifies to us indeed that we have a trustworthy Bible. Well, as this group, they draw near to their destination. They draw near to the village of Emmaus. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes like he's just going to continue on as they turn off the road to go into their village. That he'd simply continue with their travels. But we read here in Luke 24, in verse 28, it says this, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he, Jesus, made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him. It's a strong word. The idea is that they compelled him. Can you imagine? They had spent the afternoon listening to the Lord Jesus Christ expound to them, explain to them all those events that they were so troubled about. He gave them the answers to those things that they were reasoning and trying to sort out. And now they've reached their destination and they don't want to leave. The idea is, Oh no, you can't go on. It's late in the day. It's near. It's supper time. Come on in and share supper with us. I'm a country boy. I don't have dinner. I have supper. It was in the evening. So after they compelled and constrained him, he was pleased to turn in with them to their house and have supper with them. But then we see here, we see the Lord's blessing on the bread. Oh my. Verse 30, it says, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took the bread. Now that's a little unusual. Normally it would be the owner, the master of the house, would ask the blessing. But he, being the master, I'm sure they were quick and happy to allow him to ask the blessing on their meal. And it says, he took the bread and blessed it and broke and gave it to them. Oh my. Their eyes and their ears had heard this before. They've been there when the Lord Jesus Christ had asked the blessing on the bread. It may well be they were there the day that he took that boy's lunch. And as he asked the Lord's blessing on the bread and broke it, and they passed it to the 5,000. It may well be that they were there the day when he did the same thing on that meal for the 4,000. Oh, their hearts suddenly are warmed. Their hearts suddenly are hearing and seeing as they hadn't all afternoon. It says in verse 31, their eyes were opened and they knew him. They knew him. Hallelujah. They knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Whew. Compare what we just read. It says their eyes were opened and they knew him. Look back. Look all the way back in verse 14. Verse 14, we'll read a couple of verses here. It says they talked together of the things which had happened. It came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But here, what's it say? Their eyes were holding that they should not know him. What a contrast, huh? What a contrast. We come again to verse 31. Their eyes were open. The scales were removed. And what? They knew him. Now, beloved, I believe in being a good steward of the Word of God, to interpret the Scriptures honestly and rightly. But I can't get past at least the application here that the God of glory, when He turns the lights on, you know Him as you never knew Him before. Oh my. He knew. They knew Him. Well, their eyes were bound and held before, and they did not know who was in their midst. Now they knew. Now they knew. Well, we see as the Lord Jesus Christ vanishes, He's gone. And we see this, if I would use the words, a burning return to Jerusalem. Now be mindful, a few moments earlier, they were exhorting the Lord Jesus Christ. No, you don't need to be traveling on. It's now getting late in the day. It's evening. You come on into our house and have supper. The Lord Jesus Christ blesses the bread, of course, as we've seen. Their eyes are open. They know Him now. And He's gone. And we read in verse 32, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? Now, beloved, have you ever been there? You say, preacher, I've never been on the road to Emmaus. That's not what I mean. Have you ever been where you've been reading the Word of God maybe? Maybe somebody's teaching the Word of God and your heart just burns within you. You understand, you know that God the Holy Spirit is on the scene and He is speaking concerning God. And that it may have been that day when you were saved. May have been that day when you knew Him for the first time. Those eyes are what? Opened. You say, oh my. People have been telling me about this for a long time. People have been trying to tell me about what Jesus had done for me. But now, wow. And there's something I can't get. Forgive me, but they got a case of the divine heartburn. But they couldn't cure it with Gas X. Huh? We could do with a little spiritual heartburn. Some divine heartburn that our hearts would burn within us. For the Lord Jesus Christ and for the things of God. Hey, for the glory of God. Their hearts burned within us and within them. And though it was now light, and it may well be the sun has gone down. But suddenly they didn't care about that 7-mile trip back to the city. We're going back. We got to get back to Peter and John and James and the rest of the guys. We got to tell them what we saw today. Whew. So they left that morning. They were struggling along and talking to each other. We don't know what's gone on, what's happened, what is this all about? And now they're doing the quick step. They're doing the quick step. They want to get back there to Jerusalem. They get right back to town. They go to that place where the disciples have been hanging out, where they've been meeting together to worship the Lord. And they rush in. Can you imagine? They rush in the room. And guess what? The 11 are excited too. They see them coming in. They say, you can't believe it. Can't believe it. He's alive. Simon saw him. And they say, saw him. Man, we spent the afternoon with him. One up that. I just dare think they spent the rest of the night just praising God. Huh? All those fears, all those concerns, what's happened? What's happened? All our hopes were gone, but now that's all gone. All the fear's gone. All the concern is gone. They've witnessed the living Son of God. He came and was in their midst. Oh my, that's not bad. Doesn't get a whole lot better than that. What a service it must have been. We have before us in this story such a beautiful and yet personal. In my thinking, it's a very personal account. These two spend an afternoon, a few hours, with the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't even know who it was until after the fact. But now let me ask you. When the Lord Jesus Christ revealed Himself to them, He opened their eyes. You think they was worried about, well, why didn't He tell us in the first place? You know, we're so quick. Well, come on. You know, we've always got something to complain. We're great at finding something to complain about. They weren't worried about any of that. They were just so grateful, so thankful that they personally came to know their Savior lives. That He is indeed alive. Amen. Amen. There's many folks that are struggling, beloved. Many all around us. And I think many of them want to believe. These two wanted to believe. They want to believe. They hear all kinds of things. Isn't that the case? Folks are hear all kinds of things in our day. You know, when somebody asks me about our church, you know, there's so many things that you know, I love about our church. It's a friendly church. You know, it's, hey, we come here, we have church. Huh? We have church. But when they ask me about our church, and it's not about me, but I tell them that we are a Bible-believing church. That we're about teaching and preaching the Word of God. You folks don't need to know what I think. I can do my best to try to take the Word of God and explain it and hold it out for us to hopefully get a hand to one. But we need to know what this book says. We need to know what Jesus has done for us. What He has accomplished on our behalf. That's what it's about, folks. I'm thankful. What beautiful music we had this morning. It's tremendous. Music that truly honors and glorifies God. And I love the music. But you don't choose a church on the music alone. Of course, there's some music might keep me away. But you need to find a church that preaches this book. They don't focus on sermonettes, but they preach the Word of God. Preach and teach the Word of God. And beloved, the Bible account is clear. No secular records can refute that Jesus Christ lived a sinless and blameless life. The Bible says that, but even the secular historians remark on this remarkable man. His teaching was simple. Jesus' message was a simple message. He wasn't a revolutionary as a revolutionary goes in people's mindset today. He said, I'm come that they, you and I am come that they might have life. That they might have it more abundantly. He's come that we might have life, beloved. The infamous words of John 3:16 declare, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Jesus came to give us life. To give us victory over death. And in having victory over death, He defeated sin. He paid the price of my sin and your sin so that we could have that victory. Before He was born, the angel proclaimed these words, thou shalt call His name Jesus. The name Jesus means Jehovah's salvation. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for because He shall save His people from their sins. That's why Jesus came. And again, the world misses it. Hollywood certainly misses it over and over. Jesus came to save lost folks, just like you, just like me, from our sins, to give us everlasting life. Then, remember what He said to these two. Remember what He said to them. He said to them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He said to them, ought not Christ to have suffered these things What things? That horrible, horrible, hideous treatment, the beatings, the scourgings, and ultimately to die on that cross upon Mount Calvary for our sin. Jesus said, that's why I came. That it was necessary. It was essential that I do just that. That I do just that. The Word of God. The Word of God says, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Amen. It's the story of Jesus. It's the story of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, Jesus came that we might have life. My friend, during His earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ had gone to the temple one day. And there He witnessed a man that knew he was a sinner. There was another fellow there. We're not even going to bother with him right now. But he saw this wicked old publican. Not Republican, by the way. A publican. That man was over in the corner, beating his chest. Understood he was a sinner. And his words, beloved, are infamous in my heart. To me, if you want to find a sinner's prayer, a salvation prayer, anywhere in the Bible, it's right there. He simply cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What was the Lord Jesus' words? He said, that man went down to his house justified. He went back to the house right with God. You may be here this morning and you understand, you realize you're not right with God. That you need the Lord Jesus Christ as that sacrifice, that payment for your sin. I plead with you to do what I cannot do for you. Put your faith, your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let's stand together. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. What an amazing story. I'm thankful that it's not just a child's story or a myth, a legend. But it's an account of Your Son as He dealt with these two men. Thank You, Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed a living Savior. He doesn't lie in a tomb somewhere as a rotting corpse. But He's alive at Your right hand in the throne of glory. There to declare the victory that was His over sin, over death, and over the grave. Father, I don't know that there may well be some within this room today that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, I plead with You. Lord, I ask You in Jesus' name, Your Son's name, that right now You grant to them the liberty, grant to them the full faith to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, even at this very moment, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Lord, I claim the promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, do for each one, anyone that might need Jesus today. Father, I thank You as a Christian for what You did in my heart all those years ago to hold out Your Son to me and to folks across this auditorium. Father, might we rejoice in Jesus, the life that is ours in Him. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus today. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Brother John, you have a song for us?
Page 162.
Amen. What a Savior. Thank God for what He's done for us. And I urge you, if you're here this morning without Christ, please don't hesitate. Right now, as we begin to sing, we're not going to sing. We're going to sing. But as we begin to sing, please just step out and come. Someone will take the Bible and show you what Jesus did for you. Maybe you're here and there's some things you're struggling and battling with, and you need to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to get it under the blood. You can have that restoration, that restoring of that walk with Him. Whatever the need might be. These altars are open. Please just do what the Lord would have you to do. As we sing, you come.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord, now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. My soul is sick, my heart is torn. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home. home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home.
And you can be seated for just a moment. Adam, would you join me, please? Man. Well, in case you don't know, this is Adam Vogt. And Adam has come this morning to present himself for church membership, was the first thing he said to me. And, of course, we were most of us in on what had happened this week. And I guess it was Monday. He had put a tremendous word of testimony on one of them social media things. And do you have liberty to say a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. Most of you know me. I had a profession of faith when I was 5 or 6. I don't remember really. And really, I don't even remember the experience. But I remember hearing about it, and I'm like, okay, well, that's good enough. And then from then on out, I just was content just to be here, you know. And then I guess it was about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, Daniel came up here and he said, look, I thought I was saved when I was younger too, but I wasn't. But he got saved a few years back. And I thought, that's a lot like me, but I don't think I have. So over the past few weeks, message after message I heard at school and here seemed to all click together. And I got saved on Tuesday. I just kind of just hit all at once.
Amen. Amen. Well, we praise the Lord. So often we get bound up and just being honest about these things. As Adam said, he fought this and fought this. And I'm glad the Lord always wins.
Amen.
And so Adam's come this morning to present himself, first of all, that the Lord has saved him. And he wants to follow the Lord in believers' baptism and unite with Metropolitan Baptist Church. Now, again, he went through all that when he was 5, but we understand, hopefully, that was just a matter of getting wet. We don't re-baptize, we baptize. You're not really baptized until you're saved. And so we rejoice in that, so we'll be organizing a baptism service. Well, church family, all in favor of receiving Adam Vogt on his profession of faith and on his desire to follow the Lord in believers' baptism and unite with Metropolitan Baptist Church, say amen.
Amen.
And oppose the same sign, and so ordered. Well, Vogt family, when we say amen, you come down here and join Adam. And church family, you make sure you come by and welcome Adam into the family of God in Metropolitan Baptist Church. Super. Praise the Lord. Amen. John, please lead us in a song.
Let's stand, please, and let's turn to, actually, you don't have to turn anywhere. The song is He Lives. It's inside your bulletin if you need the words. Just on the chorus. He lives.
He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
You're dismissed.